I would like to thank those of you who are in the front row for, you must have known I was going to teach tonight, and so you sat up here in the front, Marcos, and appreciate that a lot. You people are close up here. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 1. We need to be praying. There are several people who were planning on being here tonight. There was a very serious accident, care flighted, in front of the campground down here. The traffic is lined up as far back as you can see. And so we want to pray for just that whole situation. And let me just share this first. We're looking for one more elder right now, and if you have any selection, this will be the last time we really announce that, and so please pray with the current elders as we make that decision. But we want your input. If you know of somebody who meets the qualifications for an elder, we would love to hear your thoughts on that. Just put it on a piece of paper, put it in the offering box, or give it to one of the staff or elders, and we'll make sure that we consider prayerfully that individual. Also, what Don mentioned about the Blitz, that is going to be beginning on January the 3rd. You know, the first this year is on a Sunday. Second is when they're celebrating a lot of the Rose Bowl and football games. And then we're planning on the next night, Tuesday night, to have the Blitz. We're going to be looking at the Christian is a member of the body of Christ, the Christian is a single, the Christian is a mate, the Christian is a parent. And so we'd love to have you join us on that. It lasts for 4 weeks, and you can either come on Tuesday night at 6:30 or Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And we will provide babysitting if you let us know in advance that you would like to have that. That is just for the Tuesday night meeting. So, our Father, we thank you for Christmas Eve services that we get to get together at 4 o'clock on this coming Saturday or at 5:30. Pray that those would be very honoring to you. Last year we were snowed out, and so we thank you that we get to meet this year and look forward to celebrating the birth of the King, the birth of our Savior, the birth of Jesus our Lord. And then we get to meet next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and just pray that we'd really enjoy those services. We thank you that we can pray about everything. We pray about this accident down here. We don't know the situation, but we realize several people have been lined up for a long period of time, and pray for those individuals who were involved. We don't know how you're going to use that in our lives, but we thank you that we can trust you to be using everything in some way to cause us to see our need of you and to realize also the brevity of life here on this earth. We're going to live for all of eternity. We understand that, but our lives here on this earth, we just exist for a period of time and then we physically die. But thank you for the life that we can have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. The kids were going to stay tonight, and I didn't realize whether they were going to be in here or not, but the question I really would like to comment on tonight or ask is, did you realize that Jesus existed before he was born at Christmas time a long time ago? Many people think that Jesus came into existence when he was born a baby. Jesus has always existed. There was never a time when he was created. He was the creator. And it's really important to understand who is Jesus. We need to understand, why does he continue to be recognized and celebrated? Why is he looming as large today as if he was contemporary with us? And we're given a really good description of Jesus just in these opening verses of the Gospel of John. The writer of John is an old apostle by this time. He's probably in his 80s. Either 75 to 80 years old. He writes about 85 A.D. from Ephesus. And what he does in his gospel here, and John the Baptist and John the Apostle are different. They're not the same people. We're going to look at John the Baptist talked about in verses 6 through 8 tonight, but John the Apostle was somebody who really knew Jesus well. And probably other than his mother and his earthly father, probably John knew Jesus in terms of really all that he was better than anyone. And what you have in John's gospel is you have about 3.5 years, and you have various snapshots or scenes. You have a wedding, and then you have him going into the temple and casting out, overturning the money changers because they were taking advantage of people and exploiting them in the name of religion. And so you have these different snapshots throughout. Jesus deals with a Samaritan woman at the well, and he feeds 5,000 plus people with just a few dinner rolls and some sardines. And so he just gives us these different snapshots of Jesus, but they are to convince us that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Jewish Messiah. He's the Son of God. And John chooses 7 signs that point to Jesus, and he uses 7 statements where Jesus claims to be I am, which is how the name of God in the Old Testament was translated. His name in the Old Testament is Yahweh, and Jesus says, I am. That's who I am. And so you have these claims to further reveal the person and mission of Jesus. And I encourage us tonight, and at this Christmas season especially, to go away with him. Don't go away with the signs. They're just road signs pointing. They're just signs pointing to who this is. And I pray that we're driven to the conclusion that this is none other than the Jewish Christ and the living Son of God. God's Son. The one who is worthy of our love and our worship and our trust. And so in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we're going to see later on in these verses that Jesus is the Word. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In order to get to know Jesus, the writer doesn't take us back to the time of creation in Genesis chapter 1. He doesn't even take us to a manger in Bethlehem. He takes us to eternity. And he says the Word is eternal, that he's always existed, that he did not begin, that this Word is all that God is, and the visual expression of the thinking and the, and what he's like. He's a visual expression of the invisible God. And the Word was with God. It's interesting there that it says they are distinct. They are separate from each other, from God the Father. Jesus is separate. The Word is separate from the Father, but they are existing face to face. They're two separate persons, and yet they are God, one God. It's beyond our thinking, but that's just what the Scripture teaches. And so you have the in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was very God. And so John begins with declaring the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is God. There was never a time when the Word was not fully God. And as learners of this Jesus, we're driven to our knees to worship him, to worship Jesus, the one who was in the beginning, the one who was with God the Father, the one who was God, the only begotten God, as is explained later on, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so do we know Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as John introduces him. In verse 2, it says, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so he was in the beginning with God. Again, the Word did not come into being. He always was. He was not created. In fact, he's the one who creates. All things came into being through him. Literally, through him, all things were made. The Word was involved in creating everything. And the Bible says he did that by simply speaking. He spoke the creation. He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke the earth into existence and the heavens around us, the planets and the sun. He spoke mankind into existence. And so we are his creation and he is our creator. This is his world. It's not our world. It's his world. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together, the Bible teaches. This, he knows how his creation functions, and he knows what it's best for us. It says, it was the Father's pleasure, good pleasure, for all the fullness of God to dwell in Jesus. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Without him was not anything, literally not even one thing was made that was made. Not without him. Apart from him, existence is impossible. And we are his creation. And that's the reason something within us cries out for him. It cries out for our Creator because we see evidences of him and his power everywhere. We're created by him. We're created for him. It's impossible to know and experience our purpose apart from him. And I pray that we get this. This is who we're dealing with. I know in a lot of people's minds, Jesus is still just a little baby lying in a manger. He's not. He did become human. We understand that. But this is the one we're dealing with at this Christmas time and throughout the years. So created by him and for him, it's impossible for us to know and experience our purpose. Our purpose in life is his creation apart from him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Inherent in Jesus are two essential things that we need. We need life, and we need light. And when he talks about life here, life is more than duration. It's a quality. Life is the fullness of God's essence. It's just who the Word is. He is life. And so this is making it very clear here that there is no possibility of experiencing true life. Life as God designed us to live apart from Jesus. That those who live Christless lives exist, but they don't know truly what life is, because life is found in a person. And since the Word is the source of life, then we must go to him if we want to truly live. It's like God is saying, we created human beings that they should have real life as we intended they experience it, yet their sin. And that's why Jesus came, is to deal with sin. Sin is simply missing God's mark. And that through their sins, humans have ceased to live. They only exist. And the Word became flesh so that we could experience what life, real life, is, and experience him really as our life. Jesus becomes my life. I love the little statement in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, when Christ, who is our life, and the life was the light of men, that he gave us understanding. He gave us understanding of who God is. He gave us understanding of ourselves. He gave us understanding of others. He gave us understanding of the world in which we live. And it says, the light shines in the darkness. Now, keep in mind, and I had never really, I taught John about probably about 10 years ago. I'm not real sure when it was. And I had never realized that chapter 1, verses 1 through 13 deal with Jesus before he becomes a baby and grows up to deal with our sins. And so it says, when it says the light shines in the darkness, that's always been true. always. Ever since time began, Jesus has been shining. This was light, which Jesus was and gave to mankind before he became human. And so you have light shining through creation, and you have light shining through the Old Testament, where he especially deals with the Jewish race. You have light shining through the written word that God has given to mankind. And then he's going to shine through becoming human. He's always been shining. The light illuminates the things of the darkness. That's what light does. You turn on a light and you can see what's going on in that room or wherever you are. It reveals things as they are. And Jesus has always been doing this. And that means that every person is without excuse. That this light shines from the beginning until now and is still shining. It's characteristic of a light to shine. Jesus never burns out. And so no matter how dark the darkness, the light shines on. And yet the scripture says the darkness did not comprehend. It means to lay hold of or make it one's own. The darkness didn't lay hold of it. And I think Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, which I think are the best description in the entire Bible of the world in which we live. Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32 describes it best, that mankind didn't honor God, even though they knew he existed, even though they knew he was a powerful God, that they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. Instead, it says mankind became futile in our speculations. We started for ignoring God. We took his truth and sat on it. We suppressed it, and we started coming up with what we think is truth. And the Bible says people became futile in their speculations and the foolish hearts were darkened. And the Bible indicates we chose to exchange God's glory, the essence of who God is, we chose to exchange God's glory for some kind of image. Sometimes it was an image of mankind. Sometimes it was an image of a beast. We exchanged God's splendor and majesty for something that we created. We chose to exchange the truth of God for a lie. We chose to worship the creature rather than the creator. And we didn't see fit to acknowledge God any longer. We put God to the test and he failed. He failed because he didn't meet our specs. Jesus will later say in this gospel, in John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That's the reason they didn't want the light shining. Their deeds are evil. They aren't good deeds, they're bad deeds. They're evil deeds, they're harmful deeds. And if that's what you're practicing, you don't want light to shine on it, because it exposes it for what it really is. And so the Bible says this light was shining in the darkness, but we didn't lay hold of the light. That mankind didn't do that. People didn't know him. They didn't receive him. They didn't believe in him by choice. They made a choice. And we're going to see that even when he became flesh, people still refused to, they still failed to receive him. How desperate the need. And what is God's solution? Well, the Word, the Creator, the life, the light, becoming flesh and dwelling among us. That's how much God loves us. It's how much God loves you. It's how much he loves me. He shines on. So into this darkness came the light, but before him there was a witness to him. Before Jesus became a human being, before he became a baby, was born as a baby, it talks about there was a witness that was going to that was sent from God. Look at verse 6 with me. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is John the Baptist, not the writer John, not the apostle John who wrote this book. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And so there came this man sent from God whose name was John, and with John's ministry. Now, think about 400 years ago, or think about 400 years in the future, and that is how long God has not had any of his word written. Now, the light has been shining the entire 400 years, but when you have the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, you have 400 silent years before John the Baptist comes to testify about the light. And so these 400 silent years between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He was selected by God and called to this task. Prophets spoke for God as his personal mouthpieces. God, you've called me, you've given me a message. May I speak it clearly? May I proclaim it? And John was to give God's message just as he had received it, and he did that. He didn't have to defend the message, he just had to proclaim it. And he came as a witness, the Bible says, to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He came to speak to the people and show people their need of God's life and light. That's what a witness does. It's just somebody who has seen or heard or experienced something, and that's just what he shared. For about a year, he carried out his mission. And he pointed to this light. He pointed to the one who was coming, the one who has always existed. He was pointing to Jesus. And his message was, turn from your evil ways and believe. Trust this one that is coming. Admit your need, change your attitude, change your behavior. The light is coming. Prepare to meet and believe in him. And verse 8 makes very clear, John was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And I love John because somebody wrote the phrase, it is in the worst of times that God's best servants emerge. And I really believe that. I think John was one of those servants. It's in the worst of times that God's best servants emerge. And I pray for Ben and Doreen and their family that they will be God's best servants. John knew his role. He knew his God. He knew the light. He willingly accepted his responsibility. He didn't point to himself, but to the light. He had a clear understanding of his mission and an acceptance of his limitations. And you know what? If you study about John the Baptist, he came, he carried out a wonderful ministry for a period of about a year, and then God took him home. His mission was over. He had done what God wanted him to do. And God removed him from the earthly scene. Now verse 9 goes back to the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There was the true light which, coming into the world, look at this, enlightens every man. There was this genuine, true, real light as opposed to the counterfeit. Now again, keep in mind, this is still before Jesus became flesh. He's always been working. He's always been shining. And there is no one, it says to everybody, he enlightens every man. There is no one who has not heard something about God, something of his truth. And that person, every individual, is accountable for the light that he or she has received. There are no excuses. You can't say, well, I didn't know. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He was in the midst of this world, which he had made, but people didn't choose. It's a choice. They didn't choose to recognize their Creator himself when he was invisibly among them. They didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. They didn't recognize Jesus as God, the Word, the Creator, life, light. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And now the Word appears as a person. We're going to see that in verse, a little bit later. We're actually going to see it next week. But he appears to his own things, his own creation. In fact, even his own people, the Jewish people. He came to the land of Israel, especially God's people, but his own created world and even his own people did not receive him. It was a choice they made. They didn't lay hold of the pre-incarnate Word, and they even failed to recognize him when he became a human being. It was a decisive act that they rejected him, with the exception of those referred to in verses 12 through 13. They should have received him as their God, their Lord, but they didn't. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And so you have John, the writer John, softening the rejection of the Word by stressing the many who did receive it and believed in Jesus, in him, in the light. Though Jesus, the Creator, was he was consciously unrecognized. And Jesus, the light, was rejected by many, yet there were some who received him. There was Abraham, and there was King David, and there was Moses. And there were the prophets. You've always got people throughout the entire Old Testament, no matter how bad the times became, that there were people who believed and received the light. And the only requirement was for a person by faith to receive him, to believe, to respond to the light, the life, the Word, God. And so while the world and its representative, the Jewish people, the nation of the Jews, Israel, they rejected Jesus, individuals received him, just like we here tonight can receive him. And with those people, he began a new family, his family, that you can become a child of God. You can become God's child. You can become a part of God's family. It's an incredible message. A person needs a supernatural work. How in the world can I go from being somebody who's living in the darkness to becoming part of the family of God? And the Bible says, by trusting this light, this Jesus, by faith. A person needs a supernatural work to become God's child, but God has provided this, that we have the freedom of action before God to become his children. And when that happens, you become someone that you have never been before. You become his new creation. And you have this parent-child relationship with Almighty God, with God as our Father. You have to come personally, you have to come individually, but you can come. And you become what the Bible says, born again. You're not born of blood. You know, it's not because you're a descendant of someone. It's not because you're a descendant of Abraham or you were brought up in a Christian family. That's not how it happens. It's not of blood. It's not of the will of the flesh. You can't make yourself one. Oh, I'm going to try real hard to become a member of God's family. It's not of the will of man. It's not by the will of others. No human can make someone else a Christian. I wish we could do that. We can trust, and that's what we're required to do. That's what the Bible says. It's, that invitation is open to all of us. We can place our faith in Jesus as Lord. But we can't make. Only God can do that. Only God can carry out this work of making us part of His family. But He's done so. And so God the Father sent His Son, Jesus, the light, so that we could become His children with Him as our Father. And so that means when by faith you receive Jesus as Lord, when you believe in His name, something happens to you. God makes you His child. Can you imagine? And so that's our message at Christmas. We don't have to ask people to believe in somebody who was born in a manger so long ago and that's when he first started. No, we ask them to believe in this light that has always been shining, who became a human being and dealt with our sins on the cross. That's what was necessary. Our sins were the issue, those things that we hoped the darkness would cover up. We had missed God's mark in so many ways. And Jesus came and dealt with those sins and then was raised from the dead so He could be a living Lord in our lives, in your life, in my life. And so I write on the handout, this true light, the real one, the genuine one, enlightens every person. This was true both before and after Jesus became a man and dwelt among mankind. And a person's chosen response either leads to becoming part of God's family. This is your choice tonight for each one of us. We can either believe in Jesus and receive Him as Lord, or we reject Him. So a person's chosen response either leads to becoming part of God's family or condemns that person for rejecting this light. Each person is responsible. It isn't your mom and dad's fault. It isn't your, it's not your parents' fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It isn't how you were brought up. It's what you have done with the Lord Jesus Christ, this one who is light and the Word and the Creator and God. But to those who received Him and believed in His name, they became God's children, God's born one. We have a God. We can become part of His family. We can know Him personally through receiving and believing in the always shining light, Jesus our Lord. And so, Father, tonight we thank You for this wonderful message. Whew, this is good news. This is good news. You say, well, what about all those people who were born before Jesus became a human being? All those people were exposed to the light that Jesus is. All those people had opportunities to follow up on the truth they received and believe in the light, believe in this God. And we thank You for being such a gracious God that You've given every person opportunities. But I pray tonight, as we've received another opportunity, that if there's anyone here tonight that's never come to know Jesus as Lord, may sometime, maybe even tonight, they pray a prayer such as this. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, the light. He came to this earth so that he could deal with my sins. I am a sinner and I have sinned. And so Jesus came so that he would not only deal with our sins so we could be forgiven, but also deal with us as sinners so that we could become brand new people, part of your family. It's an incredible thought. Not only were our sins dealt with, but we as sinners were dealt with. And we thank you that that invitation is open to everyone. And so Jesus, recognizing that I'm a sinner and that I've sinned, by faith, receive you into my life as Lord. I want you to take over. I want you to shine in me and shine through me. May it be evident that, especially at this Christmas time, that I belong to your family and that Jesus himself lives within us. And the Bible says, if you have made those statements, if you've by faith received and believed in Jesus, if you called upon his name, that you're not part of God's family. And now to you, Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, Lord of the universe, Lord of history, creator of all things, God of gods, man of men, we thank you. And may it be evident to people around us that we belong to you. May we take advantage of the opportunities you'll give us and continue to, that you have given us and will give us at this Christmas time to proclaim the wonderful name of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.